Okay, friends, hi. This is the beginning of Cosmic Fire webinar commentary number 16A. The last was just one program. We have the big letter, big word Y here, and we're dealing with the idea of purpose. The purpose behind any symbol, the final configuration towards which we are tending. Let's see here. We have several things that we are trying to consider when approaching the mystery, the central mystery, the mystery of spirit. The third is the mystery of electricity, and the second is the realization that all forms are symbols, and the first is the inability for man, and I should... Man as man. That's a good abbreviation, I think. Okay, man as man. M-A. There we go. The inability for man as man to realize anything really beyond the cosmic physical plane. To speculate, yes. To realize, no. Okay, man as man. Now we have come to the point where we are going to take this further. The spiritual man is he who, having been both a man of the world and an occult student, and this seems to imply something about the... let's see. No, there it is. All right. Sorry for these little interruptions here. Just when I think I have one of those red brackets, I have something else. So now we have it. A man of the world. And by that, I think we mean that he has mastered in some degree the lower mastered in some degree the lower three planes. So he has not simply been hiding away from these planes. He has not been simply trying to escape, but has asserted and proven some degree of mastery in the lower three planes. So he's been a man of the world and an occult student, has reached the conclusion that behind all those causes, and that's causes, and let's call it the many qualities of energies and forces with which he has been hitherto engaged, is a cause, the cause of it all. This causal unity then becomes the goal of his search until he can enter with recognition into the state of isolated unity. This is the mystery lying behind all mysteries. It's a bit like the fifth ray type in the integration formula, but not the mystery. In other words, the mysteries of form. Okay, mysteries. That's in the first one. I think I better slow down here a little bit. Haste makes waste. And here it is. Basically, I stand amazed, I see naught else. I penetrate the mysteries of form, but not the mystery. I see the garment of my God, I see naught else. I don't see God yet. This is the same kind of situation, the same that we do not see the one behind the many. The mystery behind all mysteries, we say, we do not yet see the one behind the many. This is the secret of which all that has hitherto been known and conceived is but the veil. So we say that qualities veil appearance. Not exactly. Veil life. And we can get caught into the consideration of qualities. Very interesting, of course, and many of us rheologists and astrologers do, but what about the life? As I say, my old teacher used to say, don't get so caught up in the sideshow that you miss the main event. Of course, the study of qualities is on the way, but the main event is life. So don't get so caught up in the, quote, sideshow, in the circus, right, that you miss the main event. So this is the mystery lying behind all mysteries. This is the secret of which all that has hitherto been known and conceived is but the veil. This is the heart of the unknown, which holds hid the purpose and the key to all that is. This is being itself. And this is God is the Lord, for A stands firm. Being exists alone, naught else is, no matter what is produced in terms of time and space. So this is the heart of the unknown, which holds hid the purpose and the key to all that is. Of course, in a way, being itself, maybe I should capitalize that, is once removed from purpose. Purpose is an expression of being. Being is, in a way, no thing at all, and purpose is a desirable collection of destined energies. Purpose, a willed or desired collection of destined energies and forces, or willed, desired, a willed or desired, quote, collection slash pattern of destined energies and forces. So this is the heart of the unknown, which holds hid the purpose and is the key to all that is, and which is only put into the hands of those exalted beings who, having worked their way through the manifold web of life, what a great way of describing the great Maya, the manifold web of life, the great Maya, they, in fact, know themselves indeed and in truth to be the Atma, or spirit itself. And here I think we should really mean the Atman. The Atma, to me, at least at my present level of understanding, is the expression, the first expression, Atma as the first expression of the Atman, or spirit itself, and veritable sparks in the one great flame. The seven principles are the Atma, Atma, Buddhi, Manas, and so forth, but behind the Atma is life itself, the one great flame. Behind the Atma is the one great flame, or life itself. So they are knowers of life. And while it is possible to get caught up in all the things to be known, one does not want to forget the knower. One must learn to identify as the knower behind and within and as the known. So we are looking for that, the secret of why the spirit reveals the secret of why. Of course, it's always easy to confuse somehow the will or the spiritual will, the Atma, with the Atman. And I'm not sure here why the word Atma is used. Maybe in some of the texts there is no difference. Three times the cry goes out to all the pilgrims upon the path of life, know thyself, is the first great injunction, and long is the process of attaining that knowledge. So this relates to the third aspect of divinity, to the form and the individual, and the outer symbol, the vehicle. Know the Self comes next, and when this is achieved, man knows not only himself, but all selves, and this is I Am That. Finding the self within as the self of all. In other words, identifying, identifying. Right. Now that can't be. I know that one's there. IDN, 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 IDNG. That's it. Okay. No problem. Should be the right one. And we'll try to bring that down. Okay. So, IDN, identifying with every soul and knowing that all souls are one. Okay, the soul of the universe is to him no longer the sealed book of life, but one with the seven seals broken in a way, the seven ray types of souls can be contacted by him as souls. Then when the man stands adept, the cry goes forth, know the one, and the words ring in the adept's ear, search for that which is the responsible cause. And having known what? Oh, this is a long thing. Okay. There's something inserted here. Something inserted. Well, having known the soul, then its expression, search for that which the soul reveals. And I'm going to bring this back a little bit, because we have a big chart to look at. And know the soul and its expression, form. Search for that which the soul reveals. So, let's say this is search for the God that is. Search for the God that is. Know the one. Not know the self only. In other words, the unity of thyself with all selves, but know the one who is all selves. Know not only the identicality of all selves, but know the one who is all selves. So these are, you know, we recognize this. These are the three levels of Leo. Now let's see where we are here in the book, because some pages are skipped due to... There we are. Okay. Well, I think what I'll do is I'll somehow copy this and continue right here. So this is the end of 1240. Okay. End of 1240 and beginning of seven cosmic paths. So here is to be found the clue which the adept or perfect man undertakes when he puts his foot upon one of the seven possible paths. Okay, he's going to try to know the one via one of the ways of higher evolution. Okay, and here we are going to make this ways of higher evolution. Seems like an awful lot to abbreviate. Or via one of the ways of higher evolution, or the seven cosmic paths. Well, seven cosmic paths, that deserves to be abbreviated as well, don't you think so? I know, don't lose patience with this. It'll pay in the long run. So, seven cosmic paths. I don't like to stop myself, you see. All right. The only way in which any light can be thrown upon the mystery lies in the consideration of those seven cosmic paths, their names and symbols. And what is the mystery? The mystery of the One. Right. The mystery of the One, which he now is realizing himself to be. Very little can be said, for the secrets of the higher initiations may not be revealed, nor the information given in a book for exoteric publication. All that can be done is to make certain suggestions, caution against certain conclusions, and indicate certain symbols which, if pondered upon, may bring a certain amount of illumination. I would say that Master DK is giving very tentative indications here. He's saying, don't go too far. Don't take this material beyond what can be indicated. Realize the limitations of what I am now allowed to present. All right, so we have actually finished this little section. Know thyself. So I'm going to make these large. This is the first step of Leo, really, isn't it? The first step of Leo. And we'll just make this quite big. That's the first. Know thyself, and that's the third aspect, individual phase. And the next one is know thyself. And we'll do that and make that also large, so it comes into our consciousness with impact. And here we can do this too, as well. Know thyself. And then finally, know the One. Okay. And here, making this large as well. Three phases which we have discussed in relation to Leo, in relation to body, soul, and spirit, respectively, and the search for the pure being which lies behind, beyond, and as any type of quality altogether. Now, the next charts about the solar and planetary hierarchies, I think we would be best advised to study them in the following way. We have studied them many times. There they are. And I'm going to also Yeah, it'll come back here, I suppose. I wonder if we I think the thing we have to do now is we're not going to succeed in deciphering this. This is the chart that Keith Bailey for AUM made, and it gives us the colors we need, right? And I'll just point out some of the high points of the chart, which I have done often times, actually, in searching in a different way. Let's see, the three Kumaras, the Buddhas of activity, and I think we're here, and we can look at this. This is the key to the diagram. And I wonder if I can open this up sufficiently. That's it. Right there. Okay, I wonder if you can see that sufficiently well. And then I can switch back and forth between this and this, right? Okay, well, here are two levels. One is that of the macrocosm, which is the solar logos, and here is that of the, Well, it's also a kind of macrocosm. It's the planetary logos. It's the structure of the human hierarchy, or at least our planetary hierarchy, and the structure of the solar logoic hierarchy. Men are, of course, included, but they are only a certain type of men, and average humanity is included as the least aspect of this, the least aspect of this entire structure. It says here, the diagram is an outline of a portion of the hierarchy at the present moment and gives only the outstanding figures in connection with human evolution. A similar diagram from the standpoint of the Deva evolution would be differently arranged and probably would include, you know, the Raja Deva lords, yes, and the study of the planes particularly, and other factors in the Deva kingdom. Well, I think I have to bring this all the way down to the lowest level in order for us to be able to study it simultaneously. And when we go over here, we have, right, we have, within the circles, we have these figures. And I suppose what's important is to see the connections between them, I think. Well, first of all, the solar logos is here, and he is the grand heavenly man, and he is the great life of our solar system, and he works through three persons of the logoic trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will, love, wisdom, and active intelligence, who are the higher correspondences to the three Buddhas of activity. And we hypothesize that there are also three esoteric persons who are correspondences to the hidden three esoteric Kumaras. Here we have major ray lords. The three always hover above the seven, and these are the seven ray lords, and we would call them, I think, at this stage, they have to be the sacred planets. Now, you kind of wonder whether we're dealing with the monadic rays here, because if we deal only with the soul rays, we're going to find something very interesting. Vulcan is here in red, Jupiter in blue, Saturn in green, Mercury in yellow, Venus in orange, Neptune in blue, which is very fitting, and Uranus in violet. And yet these two are the greatest of all planets. It's just that in the present configuration, by soul ray, they would be found here, because they represent the sixth and seventh ray soul, respectively. But what if we were to go by monadic ray? Then it would be Uranus ray 1, Neptune ray 2, Saturn ray 3. And here you would have the three synthesizing planets according to their monadic ray. You would have Vulcan ray 4, this is hypothesis, Mercury ray 5, Venus ray 6, and Jupiter ray 7. So there would be different ways of arranging these, but as we are in a second ray solar system, perhaps the positions are occupied by the planetary lords according to the soul ray. The reflection, of course, is Sanat Kumara. In a way, this is the planetary logos. It's an expression of the planetary logos surrounded by three exoteric intraplanetary Kumaras, intra-planetary Kumaras, they are within the planet, and then three esoteric Kumaras. We've discussed the Kumaras quite a bit and their relationship to the seven spirits before the throne, not exactly the same. And of course, you kind of wonder if they're not exactly the esoteric three. Let's see, what page is that? I'm going to open up another one of these. I think I have to do that. And it'll be in rays and initiations. And we'll talk about the Radiant Seven. Okay. And here they are. Supernal Three, the Radiant Seven, and the Buddhas of Activity. So the Radiant Seven are not the same as the Buddhas of Activity and the Supernal Three. The Supernal Three, I suppose, are the esoteric Kumaras, the Buddhas of Activity, the exoteric Kumaras, and the Radiant Seven are the Ray Lords. Now, this presents just a little problem, because normally we've been considering the seven spirits before the throne as equivalent, as somehow equivalent to the seven planetary logoi. So how do we look at it? The Buddhas of activity and the radiant seven may well be the planetary logoi. Okay, that's not a problem. But the Buddhas of activity and the esoteric Kumaras have a kind of correspondence to a higher six, and maybe the radiant seven are in fact, we got into that before. The radiant seven are reflectors of the planetary logoi. So within Shambhala, within this circle, which is described as blue, though in a way it could be described as red because it does include Shambhala, within this circle there could be a radiant seven located somewhere here in Shambhala, and they would not be the same as the Sanakumara and the six Kumaras. Similarly, could there be then a radiant seven within the solar logoic Shambhala who were not the same as the six that I hypothesized surrounding the solar logos? Well, usually the radiant seven would be considered to be the same as the seven major planetary logoi. Those would be the seven spirits before the throne. But the radiant seven are not the same in this lower context as the major members of hierarchy. The radiant seven are higher than the major members of hierarchy. The radiant seven before the throne of Sanakumara are higher than these. They are not the Chohans. The radiant seven are higher than the Chohans. The intraplanetary Raylords are higher than the Chohans. So do we have, similarly, this is my question, another radiant seven before the solar logos who are somehow higher than, I think I see the answer, higher than the planetary, seven major planetary gods. But you see, there's a very, very great difference, and this is the solution to the problem, and one that I did not maybe have before. But there's a very great difference between the status of Sanatkumara and these persons of the Trinity and men down on this level. Much greater gulf, because these three were already planetary logoi in a previous Mahamanvantara, so a much greater gulf between, let's say, these four or these seven, if the invisible ones are considered, and the men, than there is between these four or these seven, depending on revealing the esoteric ones, and the planetary logoi. These are much closer. The planetary logoi are much closer to the persons of the Trinity and to the solar logos than man is to the Sanakumara and the Buddhas of activity. So that's why perhaps we do not need another extra radiant seven in solar logoic Shambhala, that the major planetary lords can take the place of ray lords. But notice down here that the major members of the hierarchy that are non-Shambhalic are not taking the place of ray lords. There is a radiant seven that takes the place of the ray lords. And sure enough, of course, these human members of the hierarchy, or members of the fourth grade of hierarchy, do receive that energy from the intraplanetary ray lords and from the planets themselves, but they are not the seven spirits before the throne. It would be like saying that the Christ was one of the seven spirits before the throne in Shambhala, and that is not the case, or that the Manu was, or that the Maha Chohan, recently made Maha Chohan, was one of them. No, that's too high. All right, well, I'm glad that has emerged as a possible solution here. I always say possible because although I may think it is the solution, I may be surprised later by learning that it is not. So let's just say if I can I do this? I think I can. All right, the three department heads, et cetera, et cetera. And I want to make sure that I am copying correctly. Okay, I'm sure, almost sure that I am. But here it goes. Three Kumaras, and here we are. I'm going to write in this area that, just to remind myself, okay, here we go. Right. So there is a much greater distance between the major members of the fourth creative hierarchy who have become, let us say, Chohans, between them and the Buddhas of activity and Sanat Kumara, than there is between the major planetary logoi and the solar logos and three persons of the logoic trinity. And you know, and we could also include the include the esoteric Kumaras of an intra planetary kind and the esoteric Kumaras of a solar kind. Okay. So I'm not sure if that makes sense to everybody, but I hope it kind of does. The space in evolutionary time between these basically advanced human beings, members of the fourth creative hierarchy, who are head of our hierarchy, the distance between them and Sanat Kumara and the Buddhas of activity is much greater in terms of time than the distance between the major seven ray lords, however we count them, whether in terms of their soul ray or their monadic ray, between these seven ray lords and the three persons of the logoic trinity and the solar logos. And of course we always have the hidden factors as well, three hidden factors in each case. And that will perhaps account for the idea that there are seven radiant beings who are ray lords here before the throne, and these seven radiant ones are not the Kumaras, because in Shambhala it tells us that the Buddhas of activity and the supernal three are there, and they're different from the radiant seven. So these radiant seven are not the members of the human creative hierarchy. No, they are higher. But the seven major planetary logoi are the seven spirits before the throne of the solar logos. It doesn't seem that we have a need for more and a higher radiant seven in the Shambhala of the solar logos. All right, that's very speculative, but maybe you can see now, you know, are we violating the law of correspondences here? Will we somehow find that, I don't think we will. I don't think we will find this. I mean, if it takes a long time for a human being to become a planet or to amalgamate with fellow monads to become a planet, they have to go through the solar angelic phase first or something equivalent and then undergo another amalgamation before they're on their way to becoming planets. But I'm kind of wondering whether there are solar chains here in some sense. No, we have persons of the Trinity, three persons of the logoic Trinity, and I hypothesize them as being the ones from page 99 or so of Esoteric Psychology 1, who do express themselves through three planetary logoi apiece. What could we say of the other esoteric Kumaras? Do they also express themselves through certain planetary logoi? One cannot say, but maybe there's a parallel here. I don't know. Anyway, so we have the solar logos, the solar Kumaras, which are really three persons of the logoic trinity, and even six persons, or six Kumaras, let's say, maybe only three persons, and the major planetary logoi, and I think a number of minor planetary logoi as well. I don't look at these three here on this chart as being the three synthesizing planets. I look at them as being the three cosmic logoi, as we see right here. This is it. The three logoi. That's who I see them as being. And I assume them, the three persons and the three logoi, to be the same, and here are the seven planetary logoi, including, I believe, Uranus and Neptune. All right, then we come down into the realm of Shambhala. The planetary logos does not seem to be listed here, but in a way, Sanat Kumara is that. And then correspondences to Kumaras who are correspondences to these different planets. For instance, it looks like that the seventh ray lord, whether we want to think of him as Uranus or somehow Jupiter, is transmitting three violet rays to the three Kumaras. We don't see whether he's transmitting to the esoteric Kumaras. We do not see. We see also that the fifth ray lord is transmitting to the three Kumaras as well. We do not find the fourth ray and sixth ray lord doing that, strangely enough. No, we see, you know, this is very intricate. What a web. We seem to find the sixth ray lord transmitting to the Christ and into the Maha Chohan, since the Maha Chohan contains the four representatives of the four rays of aspect. We see pretty much the same thing happening with the fourth ray lord transmitting to the Christ as the head of the hierarchy and also into the Maha Chohan, but not per se, unless I am very much mistaken, not per se into the Kumaras, but no? Let's see if we can find another map here. If we can go here, this is a pop-up, and we could possibly, it says key to the diagram, so we might be able to well, I hate to get rid of it, but let's do it. And here are the solar and planetary hierarchies. I think they've been pretty faithfully copied. I think Keith did a good job with this. And we do seem, from number 7, we seem to have a transmission to the first ray lord. The question is this a line that continues? Here it is. And it goes to the first ray lord. One goes to the second ray lord, yes. And another goes to the third ray lord, yes. And it doesn't seem to go anyplace else. But there are some dotted lines here. So maybe we're not seeing this as clearly as we might. I wish I could make this larger. This is an object, and I wish I could make it larger than it presently is. Let's see. But there's nothing here from the fourth ray lord, and I mean planetary lord, or the seventh ray lord. I do not see no, fourth ray or sixth ray, I do not see them going into the Kumaras. Now the question is, do we have here somehow See, three lines come forth from the fifth ray and seventh ray, and they seem... Here's the fifth ray going into the third kumara. I don't see any continuation. Here's the fifth ray going into the second kumara, and I don't see any continuation. And the fifth ray going into the first kumara, and, or, you know, the first Buddha of activity, and no continuation. And the seventh ray does the same, but there is a kind of line. Here we have a double line. A double line. And I wonder if this has been faithfully reflected. Yes, there is kind of a double line here. I think this has been well done. From the third ray kumara, there is a line that goes into the manu. And from the first kumara, kind of in orange, I guess, there is a line that goes into the Mahachohan. And also from the second kumara. So maybe that's what we're talking about. Yes, actually he's filled these in. And instead of having dots, we have now the actual colors. And the second kumara also somehow, this is interesting, the second kumara seems to have a line which goes into the Mahachohan, and so does the first kumara, or the, well, you know, sometimes Sana kumara is called the first kumara, or sometimes the fourth. But we can call these Buddhas of activity as well. When we finish this, we can go up above and see what is the case. It's very intricate. So seven, how many rays contribute to the Mahachohan? Interestingly enough, it looks like all three rays of aspect also contribute to the sustainment of the Mahachohan. And here, the third ray of intelligence goes into the Mahachohan as well. These are the familiar members of the planetary hierarchy, the Master Chohan, the Mahachohan, the Master R. The Christ, then, is he sustained? The Manu seems to be sustained by a green line from the third kumara, and also from the second kumara and the first kumara. Three Buddhas of activity all feed into the Manu, who is molding the racial type, as we know, and determining the rising and falling of continents, and generally associated with the executing the law among the human kingdom. However, the line directly from Sanat Kumara only goes into the Christ. He is the great world savior, and he is in a way a kind of second ray emanation of a first ray source, the first ray source being the planetary logos. All of the seven rays, all of them, from the second Buddha of activity, from the third Buddha of activity, and the first Buddha of activity, they all feed the Mahachohan. The fourth ray and the sixth ray coming from planetary ray lords come right into the figure of the Christ here. So Sanat Kumara per se is overlapping the three Buddhas of activity, just as he probably overlaps the three esoteric Buddhas, and his influence reaches directly to the Christ, but through the Buddhas of activity to the two others of the great lords. Then, from the Mahachohan, we go to the Venetian master, Paul the Venetian master, and he has a third ray line of creativity entering each one of these lords, the Master Serapis on the fourth ray, the Master Hilarion on the fifth ray, the Master Jesus on the sixth ray, and maybe this is an unknown seventh-ray master. They must all be, I would say, Chohans at this level, because at least their secondary monadic ray is corresponding to the ashram that they lead. Because in the case of Master Hilarion, we pretty well know he's a first ray monad. We're not sure about the monad of Master Jesus, but it seems to have a lot of the first ray. But I could not say for certain. And we know nothing further about the Master Serapis, although there is such a connection with the second ray and the fourth, and know nothing at all about this unknown seventh ray Chohan. We assume him to be a Chohan if he's the head of the seventh ray ashram. He could be a master, but we assume him to be a Chohan. When it comes to the Manu, he is interestingly connected with, of course, the fifth ray Chohan, as we would expect, and with the seventh ray Chohan. Here are two sort of reddish orange lines connecting. When it comes to he is also connected to a European master, and to the Master KH, and to the Master DK. So there are five lines of connection with the Manu, and Master DK has said there is something of the first ray in his nature triadally considered, and also the Manu is connected with KH directly, and with a European master, maybe a certain Sir Thomas. But there is a line between the three great lords, of course, and Keith has represented it as a blue line, and I suppose that's just fine. All the three great lords are connected to each other. When it comes to the Christ, he is connected to the Master M, but strangely not to the Master Jupiter. This is the one place where the line does not go. The Christ is connected to the Maha Chohan and to the Venetian Master, who in a way is sponsoring all the other Chohans here, but only directly to the Master Serapis and the Master Jesus, according to the ray line. The fifth ray and the seventh ray are not part of his connection. When it comes to the Maha Chohan, he's connected to the European Master, to Master KH, and to Master DK, and directly. So there's a diversity of connections here, but not, although the Christ is connected to Master M, and the Christ is connected to the Manu, and the Maha Chohan is connected to the Manu, we don't see the Maha Chohan connected to Master Jupiter, and we don't actually see the Maha Chohan connected to Master M unless somehow this green line continues. That would be surprising to me, because I think they would work in pretty close connection. So from the European Master, there is a connection to Master M, and you kind of wonder whether it's not a double line, or shouldn't be. From the Maha Chohan, does something go all the way to Master M? We don't know. It seems that it should be. Here are the heads of the ashrams. All of these are above the ashrams per se. These are Chohans, Master M, Master KH, Master the Venetian Master, but the Maha Chohan has risen above. He used to be occupying this position. There was another Maha Chohan, and the Master R was, did I say M? Master R was occupying this place that the Venetian Master is now occupying, I think. No, he was occupying this place. He was the seventh ray Master, and perhaps the Venetian Master still remained where he was. Well, from the position of the seventh ray Chohan, I suppose he would have had to be a Chohan, the Master R arose to the position of Maha Chohan, and he rose along the third ray line instead of the seventh ray line. My assumption is that to be the head, to be a Chohan, one must be functioning on one's monadic ray, and so that's why we're looking here at Master Serapis, ray 4 monad, St. Paul, Hilarion, ray 5 monad, Master Jesus, ray 6 monad, and the unknown seventh ray Master, ray 7. But remember, 4, 5, 6, and 7 are sub-monadic rays. Yes, they're all found on the monadic plane, but there are two types of monadic rays, and one is either 1, 2, or 3 and cannot change, and otherwise you can have any of the seven as sub-rays. When it comes to the Master DK, Master M has a strong connection, Master KH, of course, and all the second line, and the Maha Chohan is directly related to him. But again, not the Master Jupiter, who seems to be, as the oldest of the masters, a bit in his own world here. He's with Master M, and he's with the European master. And that's interesting. The European master, maybe that's Sir Thomas that appeared in the initiate books. So, okay, that is interesting that he has a connection to the Manu, of course, but not to the Mahachon. It seems to come from the previous solar system altogether. And who knows whether he had achieved some kind of mastership in that previous solar system. If there were initiates in the previous solar system, and there were, and some of them turned bad, why could there not have been good initiates as well? Well, anyway, Vulcan, in a way, inspires all of these masters. Sixth degree masters, I suppose. There is no, the only seventh degree master is the Christ listed here, and the Buddha is some kind of intermediary, and he's not listed on this chart. The Solar Logos, there's really a strong overlapping of the three persons, but notice they do not overlap with the Solar Logos the way the three Buddhas of activity overlap. But perhaps from the Solar Logos there's some kind of entity that comes forth which is equivalent to Sanat Kumara. And then maybe there would be some overlapping, but the geometry is different. Certain triangles are created. From the first person of the Logoic Trinity, there are lines. It looks like they are going. I'm rather assuming that all the persons of the Logoic Trinity, maybe not. I thought they would have direct connections with the three, let's call them three synthesizing planets, or the three major rays. The first ray is connecting to the first ray from the first person of the Trinity is connecting to the first ray lord, also to the second ray lord, and possibly here, it would seem, I don't know why we don't have a connection to the third ray lord, to Saturn, but maybe we do have a connection, and also to the seventh ray lord. Let's see if this gives us anything. The first, there's kind of a double line here. A double line from the Lord of Love Wisdom. See, it's very hard to make out. This looks like not a single line, but a double line. Coming from where? From the third person of the Logoic Trinity? Well, you know, these charts get so intricate that I'm not really sure whether it has been represented with complete faithfulness. There is a central point between all of these overlapping lords, and here there is not such a central point, but the three persons of the Trinity overlap in such a way that the three are one, and from the central point comes a line going straight to the first ray lord, to the second ray lord, straight through from the Solar Logos, and to the third ray lord, yes. But then, yes, I guess that's the way we'll have to look at it, that from the central point, all three of the major ray lords are connected to the central point of the three persons of the Trinity, but notice how the first ray of will seems to come from the center of the first person of the Trinity, and maybe the third ray also. Yes, it's a kind of double line, and it is faithfully represented. Here it is. It comes to the second ray lord. So from the three persons of the Trinity, there is a direct line to the second ray lord, but not from every person to the first ray lord, and not from every person to the third ray lord. The way the first ray, second ray, and third ray lords are connected is from the central point of the three overlapping persons of the Trinity. That is the line of connection. Okay, and they are, each one of the ray lords, each one of the persons of the Trinity is stimulated directly by the Solar Logos. The three in one point, The one that is the three connects with all of the Ray Lords, and each of the Ray Lords connects directly with the second Ray Love Wisdom Lord, whether it's Jupiter or whether it's Neptune. But not the three persons of the Trinity do not seem to connect directly, except for that three in one point, with the other two Ray Lords. You see, in other words, from the center of the first person of the Trinity, here's a short line straight into the second Ray Lord. From the third person of the Trinity, here's a short line straight into the second Ray Lord. But we don't see those same kinds of lines coming from the persons themselves, unless this is a double line, this orange one. Let's see. It could be a double line, which is not... Yeah, maybe it is a double line. And in that case, which is fortunate, the first person of the Trinity does connect directly with, let us call it, either Vulcan or Uranus. And the third person of the Trinity does connect directly, either with, it's always going to be Saturn. So the heaviness of this line is something that has to be noted, because it really is a kind of double line here, a kind of double line. All right, that's satisfying. Does the second person of the Logoic Trinity connect directly with the first and the third Ray Lord, planetary Ray Lord? He certainly connects directly with the second planetary Ray Lord, but I don't know if I really see that happening here. So somehow the second Ray Lord is the main one. And then when we start to look at what goes down here, Sanat Kumara is going to receive very much... Sanat Kumara receives straight from the solar logos in this sense. It's kind of a... I can't call it a jewel in the lotus, but it is a direct transmission straight from the solar logos down through the second Ray Lord. Is it Jupiter? Is it Neptune? It's not going to be Venus yet. Straight to Sanat Kumara. The Vulcan goes straight to Sanat Kumara, either Vulcan or Uranus, and Saturn goes straight to Sanat Kumara. But the third ray persons of the Trinity go to all of the three Buddhas of activity, and that makes a lot of sense because they are, after all, Buddhas of activity. They combine the second ray with the third ray. So you see these three green lines, which is pretty much from the center of the third person of the Logoic Trinity, from the Holy Spirit side. The green lines go straight down and touch. The orange lines from the Ray 5 Ray Lord, mm-hmm. the planetary Ray Lord, touch the third Buddha of activity and touch the first Buddha of activity, but don't seem to... Do they touch the second Buddha of activity? That's a question. Yes, they do. From the fifth ray, it touches the second Buddha of activity. From the seventh ray, first Buddha of activity, third Buddha of activity, and second Buddha. Yes, all the Buddhas of activity are touched by the three lines from the fifth planetary Ray Lord, which may be... Venus from the soul angle, or Mercury from the monadic angle, and the seventh Ray Lord, planetary Ray Lord, which would be either Jupiter, Uranus, or Jupiter. They touch the three Buddhas of activity, but the other planetary Ray Lords of the fourth and sixth ray, they do not go directly to the Buddhas of activity. I think it's the wrong ray line. Instead, this sixth ray point goes straight to the Christ and straight into the Maha Chohan. And the fourth ray goes straight to the Christ and straight into the Mahachohan. And from Sanakumara goes straight to the Christ. So sometimes the double lines are very distinct, as here. See, we really needed the original map as well, didn't we? Because, you know, when you start coloring things in, the lines get thicker and you can't necessarily tell. So what's coming from the planetary ray lords is going straight to the Mahachohan here and straight to the Christ. Do we have anything from the planetary ray lords coming straight to the Manu? Well, in a way, yes, from the first ray. From the first ray planetary ray lord straight to the Manu, not from the second ray, and... Well, this is so intricate, so complicated. I don't know if there's anything from the third ray planetary ray lord going straight through to the Manu. The Manu has to pretty well receive directly from the first ray and from the three Buddhas of activity, which are on his line in an important sense. Whoa! I don't think I've ever had the occasion to analyze that so completely. Now, of course, the implications that the three great lords can receive directly from planetary ray lords, directly from these four, and also from the three major planetary ray lords. They have a direct transmission, not all to all, but a number of planetary ray lords are reaching the three great lords directly. At the same time, the three great lords are reached by the Buddhas of activity. The Buddhas of activity particularly have a line here to the Manu, and also, this is the secondary Buddha of activity, and to the Mahachohan, and of course the line goes straight through to the Christ. But the Christ is not reached directly by the first and third Buddha of activity. So he's pretty well concentrating along the lines of the second ray. Well, the masters have to take these things into consideration when they are thinking of where their energy comes from. Down here, I have to take my glasses off in order to see this. It's just too close. The obvious is that the Master Jupiter and the Master Moria are on a straight line. The Christ, the European Master, Master KH and DK, in a way very close. He's not a Chohan. He's not a Chohan, but, or maybe he is by now, I don't know. But he's pretty much at the level of these other Chohans. We assume them to be Chohans, and I think we have heard Master Jesus is a Chohan, Master Hilarion is a Chohan. Yeah, they are all Chohans. I'm not sure about the seventh ray, unknown seventh ray master. And when it comes to the Mahachohan, there's a direct connection to the Venetian master, but no direct connection from the Mahachohan, this is interesting, to the other four Chohans here. It has to go through the Venetian master, apparently. Where there is a direct connection from the Mahachohan to Master DK, KH, and the European Master and the Christ. Maybe a direct connection is not needed because maybe it's pretty much of a transparency. His line is going, a third ray line is going straight through to these four Chohans. Pretty much, you see, you have to follow the cursor, right? Because I cannot, picture's worth a thousand words here, and one just has to use the cursor to point out. Here are four grades of initiates from 1, 2, 3, 4. They're not yet in the hierarchy fully established. Here are various grades of disciples. And interestingly enough, the disciples are considered to be disciples before they hit the first initiation. Maybe probationary disciples. But here are people on the probationary path. Maybe they're not probationary disciples, but simply aspirants. And average humanity is outside the circle altogether. I somehow... Well, I don't know. This could be the planetary hierarchy, but if it includes Sanat Kumara, one wonders whether the circle should be in blue or possibly in red or some kind of double circle. We don't actually have a double circle here. It's just a single circle. And let's see. This chart is more of a composite chart. I think what we have here, initiates and disciples, we have a kind of composite chart with a number of these things written in. And let's see whether this was done. No. So actually, Keith did a very good thing here. He wrote in these particular, the writing that is only found, actually, here, where it describes the planetary hierarchy and who these are. So a picture's worth a thousand words, and what we have the key to the diagram, really, many of the factors that are the key to the diagram are right here, written into the circles. And that is very, very important. It helps us study things much more rapidly. So this has been a very useful combining charts here, information more easily seen. Well, okay, friends, what I seem to see happening is that we have reached a point where I can say that this is the end. I think I may have sent this out to some people. Right, okay. What I'm going to go over here. So this is the not the key to the diagram. We're already on page 1240. And it's after this point that we can say this is the end of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries, number 16A, page 1241. And beginning of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries 16B, page 1241, we're about to begin a very stupendous subject.